Yes. What's up, guys? So, like Grace just said, my name's Cooper, and this is my beautiful, wonderful, amazing fiance, Bree. So let's clap for her. She drove all the way from Waco, Texas, to be
Sick
here.
Sick of bears.
It's amazing. So we're gonna go through a little bit of what it looks like to date. Talk through some dating tactics. Talk through, hey, should you be dating? A lot of spicy topics. So I'm glad all of you are here. But just to give you guys a little bit of context, Bree and I met in the residency last year. So essentially, Bree was what Grace was, like what Grace just did and is this year is what Bree was last year, and same for me as well. So we met, we were just friends for like 9 months, and then through that friendship, I realized I would be insane to not ask her on a date. So I asked her on a date, and she said yes, and now I put a ring on her finger. So
I said yes.
It's amazing. That's how it's done. That's right. And so, yeah, we're just going to talk about dating, but one thing we want you guys to know is that we have not done any of this perfectly, so while we're up here on stage, it does not mean that we are dating experts. It means we've learned a lot, done some things poorly, done some things well, but we're excited to share with you guys.
Absolutely, yeah. We wanted to start off by reading 1 Corinthians 10:31, so y'all can write that down, but it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And man, we wanted to start there because as y'all are here at D-Town, like, we want to talk about what it looks like to glorify God in every single thing that we do. And so though dating is not something that's explicitly talked about in Scripture, this is an area for us to glorify God in, whether we eat or drink or date or whatever your sport is or whatever you do, we're going to do it all to the glory of God as believers. So that's why we wanted to have this conversation with y'all, because if you're not dating, you probably want to date one day, or the people around you are talking about dating. And so it's important as believers that we have a framework to which we can look at dating through.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to talk through three P's today of dating, the three P's of dating. So hopefully it'll be easy for you to remember. If you're taking notes, you can go ahead and write them down. The first one is prepare. The second one is purpose. And the third one is plan. So we're going to talk through what it looks like to prepare well, the purpose of why we should date, and then our plan for if we decide it is wise to date than dating. And then, I guess this is off the dome, but if it goes well, it will end in the fourth P, proposing.
Wow.
So that was bonus.
Off the dome.
Yeah, first breakout didn't get that, so it's bonus. But tell
bonus
us about the
bonus
first
info.
P,
if you get these three right, you can get the fourth P.
That's right.
But the first P is prepare. And so y'all can write this down. You are not ready to date until you are the type of person you would want to date. And so this is really important, y'all, because we think that in your middle school and high school years, this is a perfect time for y'all not to date, but actually to spend time in the first P, in the preparation to date one day. And so I made the decision when I was younger, which I'm literally, I graduated high school like less than 2 years ago, so I'm not much older than y'all. But I made a decision in like middle school, high school, to not date until I graduated high school. And honestly, a big part of this was I had a mentor who shared this scripture with me, so I'm going to read it to y'all. It's Ephesians 5:15, and it goes into verse 16. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And so as believers, for y'all in this room who know God, we want you to be asking the question, not is it right or wrong for me to date, can I date, but rather is it wise for me to date in middle school and high school? And we would just say, man, I found it to be really wise not to date in high school, and it blessed me a lot. And I've heard around Watermark people use the term of, hey, there's more joy and less scars. And I just found that to be true. And so we're not trying to just cancel your Valentine's plans or to just like ruin y'all's like dating, whatever, all your dating dreams. But we do want to say, hey, we have found it to be wise to wait to date until you are the type of person that you would want to date. And you do that by spending these years in preparation as you seek the Lord and abide and spend time in God's word. And for me, that looked like observing the way that my dad led my mom and observing the way that my mom submitted to my dad and having people around me, mentors around me, older, wiser people that I could look at and watch the way that they pursued the Lord and start to understand, hey, what would I want someday in a future spouse? And I would just tell y'all, like, when you spend time getting to know the heart of God and getting to know the person of Jesus, like, that that spirit will be more noticeable in other people. And so when I moved to Dallas and had a conversation with my dad where he was just like, hey, I want you to know if the Lord opens the door for you to date in this next season, like, run through that. It made it much more obvious, like when Cooper asked me on a date to say yes, because I had spent time getting to know the heart of God. And so the heart of God was super noticeable and obvious in Cooper. So we would just say, spend time preparing, because you are not ready to date until you are the type of person that you would want to date. And so this matters, because there is just freedom in singleness, in not dating, to get about the things of God and advance the kingdom of God. And I watch probably the sweetest ministry I've ever experienced take place in high school. And I'm just convinced that I wouldn't have experienced the fullness of that ministry in high school if I would have been caught up dating, because dating can be such a distraction to pursuing the mission of God. And one day, like as we're going to get in with the next P, it will be an opportunity to do ministry together. But there's such sweetness in singleness to pursue ministry and get about the things of God. So yeah, we would just tell y'all, prepare well before you think about, is it wise, not is it right or wrong, but is it wise for me to date?
Yes. And so once you've decided one day, whenever that is, maybe not today, but once you've decided, hey, it's wise for me to date, it's important that you know, man, what is the purpose of dating? Why should I date? And what I would tell you is the purpose of dating is to determine if someone will be a good ministry partner. The purpose of dating is to determine if someone will be a good ministry partner. The purpose of dating is not to try to find someone that you think is the hottest girl in school or the most popular boy on the team. Not, those are not the goals, right? The goal is to find someone that will be a good life ministry partner. And what I would say is culture gets it absolutely wrong in this area. They are telling you that it's about this emotional experience, that you got to make sure that you always feel happy and you never have any conflict and it's just roses and sunshine and rainbows.
It's just not that way.
And it's just not that way. It's close with Brie. Let me tell you, it's close. But even with Brie, it's not that way for us. So what I would say is there is no perfect relationship. There's no perfect person. You are a broken human being trying to date a broken human being. And so the goal is not find my perfect emotional soulmate, but it is, man, who am I going to be able to run towards the cross with every day for the rest of my life? And now that we know the purpose, a way that we can do that, a three H's you can write down to remember what should I be doing practically to help me live out this purpose. In dating, the three goals of dating are this: honor God, honor each other, have fun. The three H's of dating: honor God, honor each other, have fun. So anything that you do in the process of dating, you're going to want to run through these three lenses in this order. The first one, is what I am about to do honoring to God? Is what I am about to set up for us, or where we're about to go, or what we're about to watch, is all these things, is this honoring to God, right? Brie started us off by reading 1 Corinthians 10:31, that we want to do everything to the glory of God. We want to do everything to honor the Lord. So we want to start by that. If it's not honoring to God, then we don't want to do it, no matter what context. Single, dating, married, engaged, none of it. That is, you don't want to do anything that's not honoring to God. So that's an obvious first point. Once it has passed level one, you can then take it to level two of, does it honor the other person? So for me, does it honor Brie? And so once you've decided, hey, this honors God, it's probably going to honor the other person. I think for seldom sure. Are there examples where they don't go hand in hand. But once you've decided it's honoring to God, then you're going to ask the question, hey, is this honoring to the person that I'm dating? Is this honoring and uplifting? Does this make Brie feel cherished and loved and cared for and seen and championed and all these things? Because that's ultimately what I want to do. So that's the next H. And then after that, this is not as important, but it is still very important. That's why it's third, is to have fun. Because nobody likes to go to boring, robotic dates where you feel like you're just a robot. I don't know. I've never really experienced that. Hopefully you guys haven't either. But fun is important, and it's healthy. And a practical way that we've done that is come up with some creative dates of like writing encouraging phrases on clothespins and then going to the museum and trying to clip people without them noticing.
That's an amazing date idea. So y'all take that. Take
that
notes.
One's free. You write that down. Clothespins. It's nice to have the phrase on there. That way if you get caught, you're like, oh, just trying to spread some encouragement. But yeah, so that's the three H's of dating. And what I would say is if you do these three things, your dating will be a success. You will absolutely succeed at dating. What that does not mean is that you will marry that person. Success is not just marrying. You can date well and break up. It's totally okay, because the whole purpose, like we said, is to determine if someone is a good life ministry partner. And if you're dating and you're honoring God, honoring each other, and not having fun, then you can tell that person, hey, I don't think that it is best for us to continue to date. And it might hurt a little bit, but I tell you what, a breakup that comes out of a relationship that has been seeking to do those three things is going to be a lot easier than a breakup that comes from a relationship that is trying to be self-serving and self-seeking and all about me and what can I gain and what feels good for me in this relationship. And so if you stick to those three H's, it's not only going to help you in dating, but also in breakups. It makes it a lot easier. So with those are the goals of dating. One of the ways that you can practically live out honoring God, honoring each other, is boundaries. So Bree is going to tell us a little bit kind of three areas of boundaries that are helpful. But before we do, I want to talk to the men in the room, hoorah, because what I would say to you is that leaders eliminate confusion. So as the man, you are responsible for leading a relationship. Now, ladies, nowhere in the Bible does it say girlfriends submit to your boyfriends. It does not say that anywhere.
It's not in there.
It's not in there.
Can't find it.
It doesn't even say fiance submit to your fiance. But what it does say is wives submit to your own husbands. And why that's helpful in the context of dating is because you are trying to see, ladies, is this a man that I want to be led by for the next 50 years of my life? Or what kind of leadership am I going to be under? And so that's why, men, it is important for you as you start dating, you're creating a resume of the type of leader that you are. So leaders remove confusion. That means you're going to be clear. You're not going to try to text her a lot and figure out if she likes you before you go and ask her on a date. You're not going to go around and ask her friend, hey, would she say yes? You're going to walk up to her and say, hey, Bree, I've noticed the way that you love God, and I think it's really attractive. Will you go on a date with me? And she'll say,
I said yes.
She said yes. So she'll say yes or no, but that's okay because you were clear. And you walked forward with confidence, and that honors her. So you eliminate confusion as the man, and then set clear boundaries before they're needed. So you should come with a list of boundaries prepared to the girl and say, hey, I have thought through our relationship and want you to know that these are some areas I think we should stick to. Bree will talk through them in a second. These are some areas I think we should stick to, but I wanted to know your feedback. What do you think? And then after you have set the pace, she can come along, and you guys can do it as a team, and that's going to be best. And what I would say is, man, it's on you. You are the leaders. You're responsible. Girls will naturally follow the way that you lead. So be a man of integrity and be a good leader.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so important. And that's why it's important to pursue healthy friendships with people, because I had watched for 8 to 9 months. Like, I watched the way that Cooper led so faithfully, the way that he knew God's word, the way that he led the people around him, the way that he served the people around him, the way that he pursued humility in ministry, and I could go on. But when Cooper asked me on a date, it was such an easy yes. I literally made a list of reasons why it would be so awesome to date Cooper. And the first thing on that list was that he would be so easy to follow. And I already knew that because of the way I had just observed Cooper in friendship. And so, yeah, that's pro tip, really important. But specific, so we're gonna go physical, emotional, spiritual, because we know y'all all came in here wanting to talk about boundaries. So physical boundaries, something that I would say is really, really important that we talked about a lot in dating, and kind of a lens in which I chose to look through was, man, I don't want to steal anything from Cooper's future spouse that only belongs to her physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because as you are dating, like, there is no promise that you will end up as their spouse. And so, man, having a framework of, hey, I don't want to steal anything from her that only belongs to her, will save you from a lot of pain. And so even, like, as we were dating, I would think about that a lot. Like, hey, if I'm not going to be his wife, I want to be able to look at his wife one day in the eyes. And I would never do this because it would be so awkward. But I would want to be able to look at her in the eyes and say, hey, I have stolen nothing from you that only belongs to you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I don't know his heart in a way that only you were supposed to know his heart. I haven't touch his body in a way that only you were supposed to touch his body. And so I don't know his spirit in a way that only you are supposed to know his spirit. And so those are all, like, so important, and we want y'all to hear that, because we're going to give you a really simple image that I had a mentor share with me. And so y'all might have heard this image, but It's the idea of fire, staying in the fireplace. So all throughout the scriptures, it talks about this idea of fleeing from sexual immorality. And so we know that sexual intimacy is something that God has designed for the context of marriage, something that he has designed to be enjoyed in the context of marriage. And so take a fireplace, for instance, in your home, right? Like, fire inside the fireplace in your home, it's a good thing. Like, it's supposed to keep the home warm. You can sit around the fire, drink your hot chocolate, read a book. It's like something to be enjoyed by the people around the fire. But if you take that fire outside the fireplace, it's going to burn the whole house down. Like, that will not be good for you or anyone in the home. And so in the same way, sexual intimacy, physical intimacy, is something that is only to be experienced within the context of marriage. And when you take that outside of its context, it will burn you down. Like, it will burn the house down. And so we say that with severity because it's such an important thing that we want y'all to know, because we haven't done it perfectly, and it will save you from a lot of pain if you keep that within the context in which it was designed for. And so Cooper made the purpose of dating really clear, to determine who a good ministry life partner is for you to pursue marriage with. And so for us, like, we've just decided, hey, I don't think we need to kiss in order to know if you will make a good ministry partner. And so we set that boundary of, hey, we're not going to kiss till our wedding day. And it's not because we don't think it would be fun or we don't think it'd be awesome, but we just know that, hey, if the goal is to figure out if we should be married and do ministry together, I don't need to kiss you in order to figure that out. And so it is going to save us from wanting to do more, and it's going to save us from blurring the lines in evaluating if we keep that boundary.
Yeah, absolutely. It just muddies the water and makes it harder, and you are going to be less likely to break up when you need to break up, and you're going to be more likely to kind of, oh, well, it's not that bad. Like, it's really fun to keep kissing her, so I want to do that. I can deal with this because I like this part. Like, it's just, it makes it a lot clearer if you remove a lot of these things that attach your hearts together, so that you can be clear and evaluate just the purpose and not get yes. bogged down by the rest.
And we're not saying it's hard. Like, the second we got engaged, this got a lot harder.
Yeah,
but what
hard.
We will say is, if you actually believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, then, like, we have everything that we need in us to be faithful, to remain pure, and fight for these boundaries. And then emotional boundaries. This is something that I did really terribly, and Cooper did really, really well. But, man, we would just say, don't make promises you can't keep. And so I am super drama. Like, anyone who's friends with me knows that, like, I tell everyone I love them. I think everyone's the best. I say super extreme, like, crazy things. I think everyone's my best friend. And, like, it's honestly a bummer because, like, words start to have less meaning.
Yeah, like, I'll wear an outfit and she'll be like, that is the best shirt you have ever worn in your
entire life. And I say that every single day.
And I'm like, you said that yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah, you should use your words wisely. But this is something Cooper, like, he erred on the side of, like, not saying anything that he couldn't promise. And so we chose to not use the words I love you until we got engaged. And this was a really sweet thing. And again, it was hard for me because I would look at him and I just wanted to say crazy things like, you're my best friend, I love you so much, and you're blah, blah, blah. And it saved me from a lot, and ended up being so much sweeter when we did get engaged, to know that we had reserved those words for the person that we would marry. And so that's not just in regards to I love you, but anything, like talking about the future, talking about future plans. Like, it will save you, and it will bless you, and it will be a wiser thing to guard your words until you can really mean what you say, because words matter and words have weight. And especially for us girls, like, we remember words that people say, and words just are deep. And so be careful with the words that you use.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to ultimately make any promise that you can't keep. Like, not just, hey, when we get married, that's something I never said, or I'm going to propose to you, or when we get married, or like.
Yeah. I always told people, like, if Cooper would have broken up with me the day before we got engaged, he would have in no way misled my expectations, because up until that point, the expectation was we're still evaluating as to if we will get married. And so when he told me he loved me and got down on one knee, that was, like, so crazy, because I was like, genuinely on the edge of my seat. Whereas I would say ridiculous things, like, whatever. I won't even give examples. But, and I would say, like, in friendship, something Cooper did really well to guard emotional boundaries is, even though he knew he was going to ask me out, he had never texted me one-on-one. We had never hung out one-on-one. And so when he texted me saying, I'm going to bring you Sonic drinks, Like, I literally knew. I looked at my friend. And I said, Cooper's about to ask me on a date because he would never text me one-on-one because he knows that could be confusing. And so pro tip to you men, guard people's hearts by not texting them if you're not planning on doing something about
and
it.
And then I did ask her out.
And then you asked me out that day.
She knew it. Yeah, so, but just, like, making sure that you don't promise anything that you can't keep, even if it's like, hey, in 3 months, I'm going to go, like, work this summer job in a different state. And you're like, oh, I'll come visit you. Like, this is not romantic, but what I would say is, hey, if we're still to be dating, like, I'd love to go visit you. I would always add the qualifier of if we're to still be dating, because I always wanted Bree to know, hey, this is an evaluation process. And it's not romantic to say that. It kind of strips it down of this, I don't know, like, what culture would
tell you. The joke when we got before we got engaged was, like, maybe one day. Like, I would always, like, talk about these crazy things, and Cooper would be like, maybe.
Yeah, maybe one day.
And I'd be like, exactly. Oh, my gosh, just say it. Anyway, but spiritual boundaries. Man, this is really important because your relationship with Jesus is everything. Like, your relationship with God has got to be the most important thing in your life, the most intimate thing in your life. And so because it is the most intimate thing in your life, this is not something to invite your significant other, invite the person you're dating into that. And so, like, with that, like, not praying with one another, not intentionally spending time in God's word together. And something we would always say is, like, because we love God and because we spend time in God's word, of course we're going to talk about God. Like, if God is the thing in which my heart, like, is obsessed with, then it would be so ridiculous every time we hung out, we, like, didn't talk about God because we love God. And so, of course, like, you're going to talk about God. You're going to talk about what you're learning in God's word because we are in love with the Lord, but not making that something that is, like, intertwined in your relationship. Because, again, if y'all break up, then that will become really muddy and hurtful if your relationship with the Lord is tied to them, or if they're your accountability partner and you're confessing sin to them, and then you break up and you have no one to confess your sin to. And so we would just say, like, it has blessed me so much knowing that Cooper has guys in his life that are holding him accountable, that he is confessing his sin to. And so when we would be going through hard things or wrestling in dating, it was so sweet for me to know, like, hey, Connor Lanham, the guy who he shares a room with, like, Connor is interceding for Cooper's heart. Connor is praying for him. Connor will hold him accountable, and that is just not my job. And so I get to trust the men in his life to sanctify him and to be a part of the work that God intends to do in him. And then I just, my trust doesn't have to be in Cooper. And so, yeah, I would just say that has blessed us to have community in our lives that are being that spiritual encouragement and accountability for us and saving that.
Yeah, so ultimately, if you are to break up, you don't want anything with your relationship with the Lord to change. So that's kind of a general rule. Hey, it doesn't make sense to go through the same book of the Bible together and talk about it every day. It doesn't make sense to call each other and pray before you go to bed every night. Those are things that are only going to bring your hearts closer together. It doesn't make sense to do that until you're engaged and then even more so married. So, well, the last thing we're going to talk through on this P for the purpose is chemistry. Chemistry of just, like, do you like being around each other? I would say it is important to enjoy time together, right? Because 50 years until death do us part, that's a long time to be with someone. So you want to make sure that you enjoy time with them. But I would say chemistry is not the most important part of dating. You don't want to just keep dating them because chemistry is, like, going well, we have a lot of fun, but they don't really love God that much, but all these things. Chemistry is never a reason to keep you in the relationship, but it's something that I think should be a part of your relationship. Attraction is something that's going to grow. So
we weren't, like, super attracted to each other when we started dating.
Yeah, again, that doesn't sound romantic, but, like, obviously Bree is beautiful, and I know every one of you agrees with that. But I've only grown in my attraction for Bree as we have continued to date. And so what I would say about chemistry is pray that God would make your heart be attracted to the things that he says are attractive. And if that is where you're at, that's going to be great, because if you're looking for, man, who's the most fun person in the room, who's bubbly, who, like, has all the friends, and that's your number one qualifier, you should go back to prepare, because you are not yet the person that you want to date, because you would want to date someone who finds the things of God attractive. So, boom, it's full circle.
Absolutely. That's so good. Okay, our last P, you can write this down, is plan. So, this is something, well, yeah, so plan. Dating is a process to be moved through, not a season to be stuck in. Y'all can write that down. Dating is a process to be moved through, not a season to be stuck in. And what I'm about to tell you is something Cooper told me when he asked me to be his girlfriend, and it's this. We're going to date with the intention of marriage, but not the expectation of marriage. And so, guys in the room, Write that down. That is an incredible thing to tell the person you're dating. It gives them really, really clear vision. Another thing he would tell me every single date we would go on was the three H's. Hey, Bree, today, my goal today is to honor God, honor you, and have fun. And at the end of the date, he would say, like, hey, I think we honor God, we honor each other, and we had fun. And if we didn't, then we'd talk through that, pray about whatever. And so, yeah, date with the intention of marriage, not the expectation of marriage. This is so important, y'all, because I think when we start dating someone, in our hearts and in our minds, we have this like expectation that, oh my gosh, that's going to be the person I marry. And if that's your expectation, you're going to be really, really, really disappointed when that ends up in a breakup. And so when the expectation is clear that, hey, we're not promising each other we're going to get married, but we are going to pursue and walk towards that and evaluate whether or not we should be married, because that, of course, is, the purpose of dating. And so you have to have that goal really, really clear in order to understand how to faithfully go about it. And then something I said on probably our first date that I just like continued to say throughout dating was that I was excited but surrendered. And so I think this is really important, because it is good to be excited about the person that you're dating. It's good to be excited about the possibility of marrying them one day, but we also have to remain surrendered to whatever God would have for us, whatever God would call us to. And so towards the end, like when we got closer and closer to getting engaged, I would say like, I'm trying to be excited and I like want to be surrendered, but it got harder and harder and harder, but I had to keep my heart posture in that way. And so something my sister would always say to me is, hey, you can hope for something without putting your hope in that thing. And so y'all can write that down. Like, you can hope for something without putting your hope in something. And so it is so fun and so good that while we were dating, I hoped to be married to Cooper, but my hope was never in the possibility of marrying Cooper, because my hope had to remain in the Lord and what God had for me. Because the reality is, tomorrow isn't promised. We're getting married on May 29th, but we could die in a car accident tonight. And so if my hope is in marrying Cooper and he dies tonight, like, that would be a really big bummer for me.
Would be.
And so,
me too.
So keep your hope clear, that your hope is in Jesus, and it's okay to be excited while you may remain surrendered.
Yep. And then the last little thing for the plan of dating is like the plan is simple, right? It's a process to be moved through, not a season to be stuck in. And what happens a lot of people that date in middle school and high school is you date for like 5, 6, 7 years before you move to engagement or you break up or whatever. And the problem with that is the longer that you date, the harder these boundaries that Bree talked about are going to be to keep. Because every time that you spend together, you're going to be tempted to push these boundaries and go a little bit further. And man, I love her, so I want to tell her I love her. Or I just wish we could do this. Or like whatever it is, the longer that you date, the harder it is going to be to honor God, honor each other, and have fun. And so what we would say is, don't date until you're ready to be married. So if you were in middle school, you are not ready to be married yet. I promise you that. So I would say there's no need for you to date in middle school. And in high school, most likely, there's of course exceptions. But I would say don't assume I'm the exception. There are exceptions, but it probably doesn't make sense to date, because the longer you date, the harder it's going to be to honor God, honor each other, and have fun. So kind of to summarize that is, date as short as possible, but as long as it takes. You don't want to rush into a decision that of spending the rest of your life with someone. It's a very important, definitely the second most important decision you'll ever make, aside from your salvation and where you're going to put your hope, of course, in Jesus. Second most important decision is, who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? And that's not a decision that you want to rush into. However, you don't want to take longer than you need to, because it's going to be harder to do those three H's of honoring God, honoring each other, and having fun. And then lastly, you need to invite community and don't date in private. You don't want to be the person that has a bunch of friends, then you start dating and you kind of never see your friends again and no one really knows how your relationship is going, because your mind is going to be clouded. And if you need to break up with them and you might not see it, hopefully your friends who love you can lovingly tell you, bro, she's not good for you. And then you have to come to that decision.
So good. Okay, we're going to close soon, but I want y'all to like lean into what I'm about to say. Because, man, this is important. And so we started talking about this with prepare. But, man, we would just say, like, hey, you have the next few years in middle school and high school to know the heart of God and get about the things of God. And if you spend middle school and high school just consumed with dating, consumed with this girl and that girl and doing whatever you want to do, like, and you miss out on the opportunity of making the name of Jesus known and making disciples, you will make a terrible trade. You will look back on middle school and high school and you will have wasted what God has for you. And so even as I've thought about engagement, right? Like we are 107 or 6 days away from our wedding day and I'm like trying to do all the things to get ready, right? Like I'm running, I'm like wearing my retainer every night, I'm planning this wedding, I'm doing all the things because I'm getting so excited to marry Cooper one day and I can't wait and I want that wedding day to be perfect. But as much like as I am so excited to marry Cooper one day, there will be a much greater day that awaits me when I meet my Savior and my Maker, the one in whom my soul actually longs for. I will meet my King Jesus face to face. And on that day, I desperately want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I get to spend my life preparing to meet my Maker one day and doing the things as I seek him in his word, seek to glorify God in everything I say and do, seek to honor God with my life, seek to date well, seek to make disciples and advance the kingdom of God so that when I meet him on that day, it will be a glorious and a beautiful day, and we want that day to go well for y'all. And so this is why it matters, and we love you guys. And so as much as marriage and dating is like such a sweet gift from God, the greater gift is your relationship with Jesus Christ and meeting him face to face one day. And so the way you live on this side of eternity just matters, and y'all can be a witness to the people around you about how to do that faithfully. So we love you guys. That's right. So yeah. Much
thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the rest of D-Town.